This podcast is presented by NXAI, your partner for time series foundation models and physical AI.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of our Industrial AI podcast. My name is Robert Weber, and we have a new podcast partner, NXAI from Linz. Each partner briefly introduced themselves in the first episode, and I'd like to welcome Albert Ortig, the CEO. Hello, Albert. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Robert. Thank you very much for inviting us.
What has been your favorite episode so far?
That's a good question, Robert. Maybe it's not such an old episode after all. The interview with Jonas from Neura was interesting to me because memory and temporal dependencies are also the topics we are focusing on. And it's exciting to hear that other robotics researchers and labs are working on these topics too.
Okay, that's interesting. It's a quite new episode. I'm a bit surprised, but interesting. The whole topic, temporal dependency and memory, is so crucial for you. Well, but why is your company such a good fit for the Industrial AI podcast?
Because we are building on the best models for industrial AI and are fully focused on bringing AI into industrial applications. And this from the very first moment on. NXAI is built on the foundation of Sepp Hochreiter's research. He's one of the world's leading AI scientist. So I think that's a very good fit.
It's an absolutely good fit. It's always a good fit to have Sepp in the podcast too, because he explains us the whole world when it comes to AI. So what's on the NXAI agenda for you in the coming weeks? Let's say 4 to 6 weeks. It's a very fast business. So what is on your agenda?
A lot. As you can imagine, we are working intensively on our new model Tyrex 2, which will be out within the next some days. And you can expect more also when it comes to robotics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds very, very interesting. Albert, it's a pleasure to have you as a partner. And I think we need to make a short transparency disclosure here, because I support you guys on certain topics, but you have no influence over the topics covered in the podcast. And as always, our dear Peter in Munich will handle any potential NXAI topics in the future. So we have their Chinese wall, or Peter always talks about the Chinese wall. And I'm really looking forward to our cooperation. Thanks a lot and greetings to Linz, Albert.
And we are really looking forward to it too. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
My guest today is Dr. Christian Heining. Christian, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Robert. Nice to be here.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Before we start talking about CAD, please introduce yourself briefly to the listeners.
Yeah, I'm Christian. I have a background in math. A long time ago, I studied mathematics and transitioned more and more into engineering, into software development, and spent some years in CAE simulation, always on the focus of building my own automation tools with the software. And the last 7 years or so, I spent a lot of time in building software for the CNC business, AI-based software for the CNC business.
CAD/CAM, right? You are a CAD/CAM expert.
CAD/CAM, right. And now the last year, I'm heading a digital product development team at a machine builder, building basically digital tools for shop floors.
Okay. We are not here today to talk about your day-to-day work. We invited you because we want to discuss Claude, CAD, and you are, as I mentioned, a CAD/CAM expert. And generally speaking, CAD has always been, I think, an exciting market for AI. What's happening right now, Christian?
I think when people combine or speak about CAD and AI, most of them think about the classical topology optimization. So that means you have a set of loads, for example, for a specific part, and then you throw that into a design optimization, and then you get those bionical shapes out of that, which are perfectly matched for additive manufacturing. And this is what people think about when they combine the words CAD and AI. But I think there's more.
Okay. So we are always waiting for new domains for Anthropic, right? So I had bet on tabular data, but now it's CAD. Why is CAD so interesting from your point of view for Anthropic?
I don't know if Anthropic is really stepping into the CAD market now. What Anthropic is, I mean, Anthropic is always surprising me basically every day. They're releasing like every day new things. And one of the key advances is, I think 2 years ago, where they launched this Model Context Protocol. This is basically for all the LLMs we have out there, which are just text predictors. They are basically blind to the outside world. And with this Model Context Protocol, Anthropic set a standard to all the AI tools out there to communicate with the outside world. And the outside world could be everything. Like could be an in industrial context, could be an ERP system, could be a robot, could be whatever, or it also could be a CAD system. So I don't think that Anthropic is going to be in the new Autodesk or something like that. This is just one small release on the whole journey to really to put Claude or their tools in the center of the workflow of different, completely different domains. Like, I mean, of course, for coding, it's Claude Code. For the regular office worker, it's Claude Cowork. And I think with all those connectors, they are putting Claude tools in the middle of the workflow of different, completely different industries. And one of them is CAD.
Yeah, but why is it so interesting? Why do they have an Autodesk Fusion connector? Designers and engineers can create now 3D models through conversation. This was the holy grail, I think. And what is happening now to the whole CAD business from your point of view?
I think there's huge potential. If you see all the machine builders out there, and it's the same also for software development. Software development is a very tedious, very expensive task. And the same also for CAD engineering. You start with a drawing, you extrude, you make Boolean expressions, etc. So you spend a lot of time in designing back and forth. And I think there's a lot of potential in automating that, I would say, the boring work away from the CAD design. The same, by the way, is also happening in software development. I compare those two very closely to each other. So in software development, writing, just typing is considered nowadays the boring work. And people in the software development, they transition more and more into architects and someone who's just supervising the process. And I think the same could also happen in the CAD world.
What can Anthropic do what many startups have been struggling with for so long? Because I think since 10 years, we are talking about CAD and AI. And why can Anthropic do now what many startups have been struggling?
I don't think that this release from Anthropic is really groundbreaking. I mean, for many people, it seems, well, that's Anthropic knows doing CAD. That's a big surprise. Connecting a CAD system with LLM is already possible since MCP was released. Since MCP was released, you could already do that by connecting an API, for example, from Autodesk or from OnShape manually. But now they ship that into their system, which make it really easy, which we democratize the whole process. I'm not very, very surprised. And I don't think that's that big of a step. I mean, it's interesting for many people, but I think this was already possible before, but not that, how should I say?
With a scale. Now you can...
Yeah, right. Not at scale. So now everybody can do it. You just get a license from Anthropic, have your CAD tool, and now everybody can use it. From just in 5 minutes, you're ready to go.
Mm-hmm. But this will change, I think, the whole way we do CAD, or am I wrong? Or because you said, is CAD now being democratized? So will everyone be able to use CAD in the future, or is it only a dream?
I think I made the reality check. I already tried it out. And,
yeah, please.
And to be honest, we are still... very at the beginning, at the very beginning. Maybe remember the early days when the first Gen AI image models came out. What did you see? You see people with six fingers and two heads and then whatever, all kind of funny stuff, which is now, by the way, it's gone. Image models are better now.
So you tried it out.
I tried it out, and for very simple prompts and very simple parts. I don't know, you have a motor bracket with two screw holes and so it works. But if it's more complex, very complex design, and you have, for example, manufacturability limitations, you have a complex assembly where your part has to fit in, it still could struggle and could get stuck. And I think what's making CAD so difficult is not just building a part, but also having many, many things in mind. When you design a part, you have to think about, for example, what are my design constraints? From manufacturability side, what's the purpose of the part? Do we have, for example, manufacturability in mind? Do we have to CNC machine the part? Do we have to injection mold the part? And so on. I think, and putting all that into just a simple prompt, that's, I think, you need definitely more context. And maybe in the future, we have systems like Claude Code, also in CAD, where the CAD system knows more about you. And the context is nowadays 1 million token could be possible, where you feed a lot of information into the system and then the CAT system, yeah, follows those rules, what you've put them in there. But just prompting and hoping that you get very complex part out of it, that's still a dream.
Mm-hmm. So it's not industrial grade.
No, definitely not. It's I mean, for hobbyists and playing around, it's okay. I would really compare it with the six-finger image generation 2 years ago. This is what we are in, currently are at. It's my opinion.
But it's a path, right? So we are on a path now that the big players are going into CAT CAM maybe in the future also. So we see a potential rising there. And what about all the startups in the market now?
Yeah, all the startups. It depends on the approach they're tackling. I mean, all the startups just focusing on connecting an LLM to a CAT system, they definitely get killed. That's by the way, what we very often see from those big players from, you name it, OpenAI, Anthropic. Each and every release, they destroy dozens of business models. If you focus only on
APIs,
just connecting just a wrapper on connecting, for example, an LLM to a CAT system, you're going to be destroyed. I mean, if you have a specific niche, then you could potentially survive. And this is what you should focus on.
From your point of view, what is a niche when it comes to CAT and AI?
That's a really hard question because the speed of development is incredible. If you had asked me a year ago, my answer would be completely different. And I wouldn't have predicted what's happening right now. Also, the big players going for AI. So Onshape is releasing a chatbot, all the Dassault system, you name it. They all have platforms where they integrate, for example, chatbots. They add assistance, which, for example, assist in drawing generation, in assisting design for manufacturing, etc. So there's so much happening right now, so I can't give you a clear answer.
Okay, that's great. Maybe there's no niche anymore when it comes to CAT.
Yeah, in general, AI is so quick, and especially with the ability to build software so quick right now, it's really unpredictable right now.
What does that mean? Now we had the CAT discussion. What does it mean for the CAM discussion at the end? Do we see the same trend there?
I see it's very, very similar. So the classical AI automation in CAM was, until 2 years ago, was the traditional machine learning. So you combine typical classification regression models with rule-based approaches and, for example, predict tool paths, predict features, whatever. And you now have the possibility to interact with a CAM system with natural language. You can, for example, predict in C code, like G code directly within an M. So huge potential right now from combining different technologies from, I would say, the old school technology with the new possibilities from large language models.
Mm-hmm. So there's the similar path you would say.
Definitely, yeah.
How much time does it take from six fingers now to a real good picture? And what does it mean now for CAT? So I think from six fingers to real good picture in the past, I think 5-6 months, or am I wrong?
Yeah, I think, and I don't have the exact numbers. I can't predict what it exactly means for a CAT. But of course, you can't really compare that, because image generation, it's a problem which is, I would even say, it's easier. It's much easier. It's a problem which has much more training data. So you know all those models are trained with billions of tokens and billions of images, that you have a lot of training data. All those large language models have this massive data sets beyond. And if you're talking now about this Anthropic plugin to Autodesk, this has not been trained on 3D data. So we're still talking about generating or accessing a CAT tool through an MCP. So none of these models has really been trained on really 3D data. I mean, there's a little bit of an approach, I think, from Gemini. They take into account some 3D data from images, but this is way off compared to real CAT data. So to the best of my knowledge, there is.
But it's already working, right? So that's interesting.
It's already working, yeah. But Anthropic is just translating the text to API calls. And it's not really understanding what's really happening in 3D. And it's using the CAT tool or the other tools as their arm, as their hammer, and not really understanding what it's doing. I mean, it's getting the feedback to do this and that, and then maybe the CAT tool says, hey, this doesn't work. And then it could iterate and and maybe spawn another agent and try another approach. So it's using the CAD tool as their tool, as their hammer or saw or whatever, but not really understanding in 3D what it's doing. So this is still, none of those models can really understand CAD and 3D because they are trained on image and token, yeah, and text.
What else has fascinated you in the recent weeks? What's a must-see when it comes to Gen AI, MCP, connection, LLM, industrial applications? What else? Because you try a lot.
How much time do we have?
You can share five examples.
Okay.
But you're doing a lot. You're playing around with a lot of different applications and tools. I already enjoy your LinkedIn post when it comes to new ideas. Please share five of your, what fascinated you most.
I tried to give in the most impressive ones. I think the latest releases of the latest models have been very interesting, of OpenAI, also Opus 4.7. One interesting thing is the image reading capability of Opus 4.7. They increase the resolution of image recognition to, I think, 4K. So that means they can really very accurately predict what describe and then take that into their context, what's within an image. And I'm thinking, for example, about, we're talking about CAD, of course, also what comes into my mind is engineering drawings, which is still around, and we still will have engineering drawings that are the next 20 years. And for example, in interpreting engineering drawings, I just made a post this morning, just feed Opus 4.7 an engineering drawing, and it will give you all the localizations of GGNT. It will give you all the text where it is on the drawing, and it's very accurate. It's not 100%, still off, but really interpreting very complicated drawings could be also possible with Opus 4.7.
I saw something similar. I saw something about fire safety planning. It was based on plans from the German train stations, I think. It was also very interesting, I think 2 weeks ago or something, where you really see that AI is capable to do some planning and technical drawings when it comes to fire safety. That was very interesting because of the training data, because they used real plans of German train stations. I was surprised by that.
Oh, very cool, very cool. Yeah, and with the increasing resolution, of course, you could now go very, very, very deep into all the details, very small and finicate lines. This was impossible before because the previous models, they all decreased resolution to 500 pixels, and then everything is just pixel smashy and you don't see anything blurry. I released also a paper, a research paper from Autodesk. A very interesting paper was released. It's called, I think, NeuroCAD. It's the first time where they compared CAD performance of different models, different AI models. By the way, not the latest approach from Anthropic. It was not included. It was too early, I think 2 weeks ago. They compared different CAD approaches from native models like, I think, Gemini, OpenAI models, also Opus 4.5, I think, and compared the performance to a human CAD designer. And the result was devastating for the AI. So they gave the AI a task, which is a real-world task, typical real-world world task of a designer. You have a certain design. Let's stick to the motor mount example. And they gave the AIs a task. Hey, do this and that, modify there, and then you need to do this and that. Please modify, make this modification. Like, it's real in real world. Like, a manufacturing guy is talking to a designer and requesting a design change. And they let the same task to a human, same task to an AI. The AI was performed with not with a real connection to a CAD system, but generated code, like code, and this code was then executed and generated the design. And the results were very bad for the AI. So just, I think, 30% of the tasks were good and very bad. But it was the first time where really a very good benchmark was published, and I think that this benchmark could be updated soon, very soon, with the latest results from Anthropic, because they had taken a completely different approach, not letting the LLM generate the code, but letting the
LLM. Is it free available, the paper?
Yeah, sure, it's on ArcSci. You can.
I will share it in the show notes.
Yeah, sure.
What else? Three more.
I have two.
Yeah, okay.
What I think is very interesting in general is the whole concept of cloud code. I mean, I'm building software, you know. And what this enables, cloud code enables me to bring a lot of context into my daily business. So context in the form of product requirements, my business goals, my customers, my users. And I think this concept is, and also, of course, the concept of having agents, super agents on my computer and just controlling that with a CLI. I think having a CLI or work with a computer with a CLI is becoming interesting again. I thought 5 years ago everything is getting clicky and having a front end, and now people are going back to CLI. Maybe this also will work. We'll go into in the future CAT world, where people are communicating with the computer with a CLI and having the context in Markdown files and having super engines working for them. That's a very interesting concept.
Okay, that's an interesting concept. And the last one.
And the last one, I think you have to mention André Carpathy today. He's always coming up with new ideas. And one concept is very interesting for me, and this could also be transition to different domains. And he published a concept, he called it auto research. I don't know if you read that. It's 2 months ago where he published the concept. And this concept is basically very simple. You have a certain task to solve, for example, an optimization. You describe the within Cloud Code, so everything happens within the CLI and within your software development tool. That's really interesting. So everything goes down to an IDE where developers work, and you have a target function. You want to, for example, make an optimization, and then you give your Cloud Code the freedom to solve that problem within a certain domain. And then this auto research concept is just described in Markdown files. And that's the crazy thing. You basically describe your problem space, your boundary conditions, how much you want to spend in within Markdown files. Then the auto research starts doing experiments. So it's doing an experiment. For example, if you go back to the initial example of topology optimization, it's taking mass away here, and then it's making an experiment. Let's see, okay, what about my target function? Is it improving? If yes, maybe that's a good direction. Maybe I can continue. If not, maybe I should take a different approach. So that's, you can basically describe an optimization problem just within a text file.
This is crazy, yeah.
And then completely have an assist of agents completely autonomously doing work for you and exploring new, completely new spaces which you haven't even thought of. That's really an interesting concept. I think that's, and this concept is, I think he described that in when he wanted to train him. I think it trained a model, I think an LLM even. But this concept, people picked it up and used it for completely different stuff. You could use it for robot automation. You could one guy used it for optimizing the conversion rate on his homepage. So he gave Cloud Code access to his marketing campaign. The metric was the conversion rate. And then Cloud Code with his auto research started doing experiments, trying to modify ads, trying to modify different conversion funnels. And every time the KPI has been monitored, and if it was successful, he continued. And if not, he took a different direction. So that's a very interesting concept.
Absolutely. We can talk longer about that, but I want to come back to your daily work. What is missing when it comes to, you work for a machine building company in Bavaria. What is, from your point of view, missing when it comes to AI? And maybe not only talk about LLMs, but what would help you guys in your daily work with your customers or your customer? Or what is the idea?
I think what's really a challenge and currently is that we have access to so many, many tools. The possibilities are endless, and the organizations are still have to be adapted. So that means people thinking and working with AI. So it's not just, I mean, if you have just a single person working as a solopreneur, for example, with AI and using different tools, that's a no-brainer. You have the single source of truth. You work with AI or not, that's not a big deal. So you define the pace. But if you're, for example, working in a team, everybody has, for example, access to Microsoft Copilot. Everybody is using it differently. If you think about a team of software developers, even product manager, maybe he works with Cloud Code, maybe not. We have the developers. So really working together in a team with those new tools also requires that people change. That's currently more the difficult a different topic compared to the tool accessibility and the possibilities. So it's more people changing, processes changing compared to
the AI tools are quick.
Yeah, and to make the right decision and to stay at your decision, right? So not to change every 2 weeks, we go with this or we go with that, or we go now this path because there's a new tool coming up. And I think that's difficult also for team leaders to decide which path to go now. Maybe it's the wrong path. Maybe it's the older path and there's something new coming in the next 4 months and I'm on the wrong path. So I think that's very difficult also for machine building companies.
Definitely. And I think a very, very important role in this whole transformation is as you said, about the leadership. Right? The leadership have to talk about AI. They have to give their teams the possibilities to try AI out. Whatever it is, if it's a Microsoft Copilot or Outlook or Claude or whatever, and they have to give the team the possibilities to experiment, to make experiments, to learn. I have also to admit that they might not know what is in within a year. And to be honest, with all that speed we're currently seeing, I don't know either.
So you don't know what you are doing next week on LinkedIn? Okay.
No, and next week I can predict. I already have my publishing plan on my database. 1 week is okay.
So what will we see next week? Give me a spoiler.
No big deal. I definitely will make more experiments with Opus 4.7, especially in extracting data from images, from engineering drawings, and also from the CAD domain. Definitely works more experiments. But coming back to leadership and change, I think the worst thing leaders can do is just be quiet and deciding. They have to give the teams the possibility to experience, to talk about AI, and to also set standards. That's very important because, especially in software development, you could also produce very quickly very bad code and ship that to production. It could really harm your product. So setting the right guardrails and standards is also very important.
I keep my fingers crossed for you and your team, Christian. I'm really looking for your post next week. I highly recommend to follow you on LinkedIn to get the latest and greatest when it comes to MCP, GenAI, LLMs, coding, SCAD, CAM. I really appreciate our call. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much, Christian.
It was a pleasure to talk to you and looking forward to seeing you again.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.